Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
Hi, Kiki.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
And welcome to episode 14.
Yes, you got it right today.
Yes.
You can count.
I can count.
So we are sitting here in my little log cabin.
Yes, it's very cozy.
Yes. How have you been up to last week?
Usual, you know, work. Lots of postnatal, lots of antenatals, a birth thrown in there.
Oh.
Working overnight as well.
I was going to say, you look a little,
I look a little bit tired
today.
Yes, I was working last night with twins.
Okay.
Yes, who are very vocal.
Yes.
Yes, so they are, they do make a lot of noise, so it's quite difficult to...
get any sleep?
To get any form of 40 winks, yeah. But they're gorgeous, they're lovely.
Aww.
Yeah.
They are. It is nice to look after babies in the night, isn't it?
Yeah.
They smell nice.
Sometimes.
But what was I going to say? It is that time of year anyway, isn't it? When it, I feel tired just
yes.
because of the time of the
yeah.
year.
It's dark in the mornings.
Yeah.
And then it's dark again when you come back from
yeah.
somewhere. So
that's it.
The lack of light really does make you feel you just want to batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
Put an old movie on.
Yes, that's what I want to do all the time.
Yeah.
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 And are you getting ready for Friday? Tomorrow, when this podcast's on, it's Black Friday.
Oh, I don't buy into that crap.
Don't you?
No, not at all. Because they all put their prices up for a few weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
So they just reduce it to the normal price anyway.
This is what I was hearing on the radio this morning.
They did it last year. Loads of them got caught last year doing that.
That's so naughty.
Well, it's... business, I suppose, that's what
they do.
But
it's not. Everyone wants
it's
to
It's deceiving.
Think... Yeah.
It's very deceiving. But no, I don't succumb to
of
Black
course
Friday
you don't.
Sales.
So that means it'd be Thanksgiving today in America.
Oh,
to
yes.
all our American listeners.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
I think we should have Thanksgiving in the UK.
But why would we have Thanksgiving?
But is it not just like to Thanksgiving, thank you for everything I have in my life?
No, it's a historical event that happened in the States, isn't it?
Okay.
I can't remember the exact details, but it is based on their history.
Yeah.
So
you have turkey and
they have turkey
roast dinner.
And, yeah. Yeah, it, for some people it's bigger than Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
I suppose all the families get together. Yeah. Next week I've got, is it next week or I can't remember, but I'm meeting up. You know, I work a lot with Americans.
Okay.
I do a lot of
expats.
Lot of birth work with American couples.
Okay.
And I'm meeting up with a few of them next week.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And their babies.
Oh, how lovely.
So that will be lovely for lunch. Yeah.
That sounds great. Mm. So you can, I think I sounded very ignorant there. I think I have to go away and read up on Thanksgiving.
You've got me thinking about Thanksgiving. I'm sure it's something to do with the history. An event that happened in their history. We sound so ignorant.
I know. Oh dear. Our
massive
American history,
apologies.
Even though it's not very long, we're not very good at it.
That's terrible. We will...
We need to study...
We need to study that. We'll come back next week.
Yeah, we will indeed.
And we'll answer a
quiz. I've just seen, you know, Trains, Planes and Automobiles, one of my favourite films.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
With, what's his name? Candy. John Candy?
Yeah.
And
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
Yeah, I love that film.
Do you?
Yeah, and,
like
and the Thanksgiving at the end. Everyone's like, thank you for being together and thank you for having each other. I like that. I think we should have a day of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
To
it's a nice idea.
All the lovely things we have. That's
I'm
hoping that one day I will get invited to Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, that would be nice.
It's on my list, bucket list.
To go to a Thanksgiving dinner. That would be nice.
In an American family, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. In America, of course.
Yes, of course. You'd have to go to
Otherwise,
the States.
Otherwise, it's not going to actually
not really
be
gonna count.
Proper.
No.
Anyway, should we leave the Black Sunday and Thanksgiving?
Black Sunday, Black Friday. Black Friday, Thanksgiving, Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
And that's it.
That's it. But let's crack on with the show. We're waffling now.
Yeah, let's do that. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. So it's time for
Doula dilemmas. And today's doula dilemma comes with a trigger warning.
Yes.
As we will be talking about
loss.
Loss, that's it. So this is the dilemma. A doula has been hired by a couple who were pregnant with twins, but very sadly lost one of their babies halfway through the pregnancy. They are looking for support during the birth, as they recognise it will be difficult to meet both babies on the same day, as it's a joyful and sad occasion all at the same time. How can the doula best support them?
It's very sad, isn't it?
I know.
So what do you think, Kiki?
Oh, you... Initially, I think you feel quite overwhelmed when you get this inquiry.
Yeah.
Because the dilemma is, you know, how much should you do? You will be feeling like you need to do something, like rescue them from what's going to happen to them. And your brain will probably go into overload thinking, oh, how am I going to deal with this situation? So, but I think actually you overthink it when you do that, because you're not going to be much different in you could say, supporting someone in this situation as any client you're working with.
Yeah.
However, I think it would be a really good idea for you as the doula, if you were a doula in this situation, to make sure you have some support for you.
Absolutely, yes.
Because it's going to be difficult.
It is. It is going to be really hard, hard going and use a lot of your energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The good thing as well, I think, that they could consider this doula is to tell the parents to check if there's like a bereavement midwife at the hospital they're going to be having their baby.
Yeah.
If they have things set up for this kind of situation, you know, who will be with them in the room. What kind of birth will it be? I mean, it's twins.
Yeah. Have they given it any thought as to, you know, are they going to spend some time with the two of them together?
Exactly.
Do they want some time to think about that before making a decision?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot going on, because it's a really joyful occasion.
Yes.
And also a very sad occasion at the same time.
So have you been in a situation where you've supported someone who had a stillborn baby?
I've supported at what is classed as a late miscarriage.
Okay. But what are the details of that? What is like the legal setup around it? When is it like a baby, so you have a birth certificate?
Well, if the baby is born and takes a breath, then a birth certificate would be issued, and then a death certificate.
Okay.
But if the baby is born and doesn't take a breath, then that, if it's after 24 weeks, that would be classed as a stillbirth.
Okay. But if it's before 24 weeks...
If it's between, I think it's 14 and 24 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a late miscarriage.
Okay.
But before 14 weeks is classed as an early miscarriage. It's all loss.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all still loss. It's all still raw emotions that people are feeling.
Yeah.
The difference with this is that obviously this... You know, this client has to carry her baby,
who's
sadly passed away. She has to continue carrying that baby for another... Did you say it was at 20 weeks?
Yeah.
Halfway through. For another half of that pregnancy before she can birth the baby and start grieving.
Yeah.
So that's very difficult for her.
Yeah, so I think that the key things to take from this is that you need maybe more support than you might have in place if you were working with a couple that didn't have these set of circumstances.
Yeah.
So as the doula, you know, if you have a mentor, for example, if you have a network of doulas that you can speak to, if you know a doula that has been through or supported at similar circumstances, that could be really helpful.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, we have a workshop, haven't we, that we haven't run that many times, that you run, the workshop, which is called support Doula Support Through Loss.
Through loss, yeah.
And we should probably, when I'm reading this dilemma, I'm thinking we should probably put some dates in the diary for next year, because I think the more knowledge you have as a doula about all the different terms and legal side of things and what you can ask for and what's available in hospitals, that's your practical kind of informative part of which will make you feel like you're doing what you can. It makes you
feel, a bit more prepared to support your clients.
Yes.
The trouble is, I think, with the workshop, obviously, it's a very heavy...
Yes, like this. I'm subject. Feeling this heavy energy talking about this.
Often people don't really think about those type of things until they're in the situation. Yes. But actually, it's really important to be prepared because the chances are at some point through your doula journey, you will support somebody through loss.
Yeah.
And if you feel better prepared for it, then it's going to make you a better doula on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you might not feel so overwhelmed by these inquiries if you feel you have those tools in your toolbox to draw from.
But it's like you said already, it's not about fixing it.
Mm.
You don't need to try and fix anything.
No, because you can't.
You can't. You just need to do exactly what you do with any other birth, and that's be there for emotional support.
Exactly. And it's the it is that joyful event of
that's the really hard part, isn't it?
It's kind of, you want to separate the two somehow, which I know you can't, but I mean, I don't know, to on the day, I'm not just talking here, I have no idea, but you know, both those emotions are going to be very much there at the same time.
They are, yes.
I mean, who is born first? I mean, very likely this might be a cesarean. I'm not sure. Or,
who knows? Who knows? But good luck with it.
Yes.
You know, if anybody does...
If anyone's in this situation, reach out to your doula network.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Don't try and do this alone.
No.
Reach out to people that can help support you.
Yeah.
And doula you, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are doulas out there that are working, you know, supporting women who are going through similar situations.
Yes, absolutely.
But definitely you need, for the doula, you know, as doulas, we need our own support network as well.
Yeah, that's very, very important. Yeah,
so we'll leave that.
Yeah, so there's some food for thought there for you all. Ba-da-ba-da-bow.
So now it's time for...
Question time.
So let's have a listen to this week's question, which comes from Sarah.
Yes.
Hi, Siobhan. Hi, Kiki. Sarah from St. Albans. My question is, when you do antenatal sessions, how long, as in weeks, do you think we should cover this? I'm guessing the average time of the maximum time probably an evening would be an hour. Correct me if I'm wrong. That'd be good if you can answer that one. Thank you.
Right, okay. So there's Sarah's question. I think it's kind of a question of two halves.
Yeah.
So when do you do your antenatal sessions with your client, as in where in the pregnancy?
Yeah.
And how long should those sessions last?
Yes.
Is what I'm getting from that.
Yeah, I also thought it could have meant, like, over how many weeks do you actually do the antenatals, which would be more of if you're doing separate antenatal preparation classes. But anyway, let's not confuse this more.
No. So what should we do? Take it as in the doula, antenatal sessions.
So when do you do your doula antenatal sessions with your clients?
So I tend to do the first one around somewhere between week 32 and week 34.
The first one, I do it quite late.
Yeah,
because I do my first one around 26, 28 weeks, depending on when they have booked me.
Yes, I mean, a lot of it will depend on when they've booked, but I like to do it later.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you can forget a lot of stuff.
I like to get in there as they start with the other, and if they're doing like another private antenatal class in group.
I like to do it after they've done that, so
when they're finished.
Correct everything that's...
Yeah, but that's happening. When do you do the second one?
The second one I do at between 35 and 36 weeks, because that's where I do the birth preference. So they've got all their information by that point.
Yeah.
And then that gives me a couple of days to go through. Because I do it for them, like I type it up for them and I send it to them. So that by week 37, they've got their birth preference.
So that means that you potentially could be meeting your clients with only like 1 or 2 weeks between the meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's good because it's the birth is approaching.
Exactly. I get that.
I like to have a couple of meetings near to the birth so that we're all, you know, the thing is when clients book you really far in advance.
Yes.
It's, can be very hard work because you have to keep those lines of communication open. Lots of nothing happens in the early weeks of pregnancy. Yeah. What are you talking about with them?
Exactly.
You know, it's so it's difficult. But no, I do. I personally like to have those sessions
later on.
Later, you see, and I also collect my payments.
Okay. In combination with those,
with the antenatals, So my final visit, is done at the latest it would be done is 36 weeks.
Okay.
And that's when I collect the final payment.
So you take a deposit, then you take a payment on the first antenatal meetings, and then the final payment on the last antenatal.
So I take a deposit, then I take an instalment on the first antenatal, and then I take the balance on the second antenatal.
Fair enough. And how long does how long are each of these sessions?
So the first session is usually around 2.5 hours. Yeah. It's always that little bit longer.
Yeah.
The second one, 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would do mine, my first one, as I said, 26 to 28 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe more towards 28 weeks. And then the second one around 36 to 38 weeks.
Right.
So they're kind of same, more. I do agree that I think the last antenatal visit should be quite close to when you're going on call.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when it could potentially be happening. And, yeah, mine are a couple of hours. Like you say, the first one sometimes drags
out a
bit.
It's usually a bit longer,
because you kind of getting to know each other and you're chatting and going through stuff. And the second one is more like finalising the practical things I find. Like, where can I park?
The logistics
of it. Do you have a parking permit or do you have a parking space?
Yes.
Who's driving?
Yeah, do not ring me on WhatsApp.
Exactly. And if...
Do you know, it doesn't matter how many times I say that to clients. Do not use WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Do not text me when it comes to the day of going into labour.
Yeah.
And they still... I mean, the other day we had a shared care and the doula... My doula partner said, you know, they rang me on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I thought it was my alarm clock going off.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's hard. It has actually confused things.
It's really...
With all the social media channels you can contact people on.
Yes, there's too many ways of communicating.
But so that can be an issue. So that's quite a good point to make.
But clear. I honestly, people have said... My God, you really bang that home.
Yeah.
And even though I really go on and on, they still do it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So hopefully that will help Sarah in planning your antenatals.
As in when to do them, yes.
But I've also...
Well, I mean, it's varied. You do yours earlier than me.
Exactly.
I like to do mine later. Yeah. So it's whatever you feel works or whatever the client wants.
I mean, I would say doing them over, like you said, over a few weeks, an hour at a time, that...
You can't really get much done in 1 hour.
You can't. And also, you have to think about your time.
Yeah.
And 1 hour, it's like you wouldn't do postnatal shift 1 hour.
No.
Because, again, you don't get any chance to
By the time you get in, get your coat off, have a cup of tea, ask them how their week's been.
Yeah.
They ask you a few niceties.
Yeah.
There's 25 minutes gone already.
Very true. So, and again, it depends when they book you. So I've been booked at 39 weeks.
Yeah.
Which then means, okay, let's see how we go. But let's do the first one, like, this week.
Yeah.
Like, tomorrow, if we can. And then we'll book one in for next week.
Yeah.
Because most babies, in all honesty, well, we know the average baby isn't born until week 41.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You do usually have time. And that can work really well. So
yes.
I can see why doing them closer together is... beneficial, rather than I might have, you know, a month or 6 weeks between my antenatals.
Yes.
And in the meantime, obviously, emails, support, phone calls.
Lots of communication.
Yeah.
I like them to have had a couple of their own there are other brands available.
Yes.
Whatever antenatal classes they're having, I like them to have at least had a couple of them.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Before we do ours.
Yeah. And then usually by the time I do my second,
antenatal meetings with them. They would have finished their program very often with someone else. And then
I just find that I can get a lot more of the stuff I need to get in as a doula.
Yeah.
And what I need to get in for the support to work.
Yeah.
If they've already had some antenatal, because I don't have to then go over a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That they will have already covered that in their antenatal. So that saves me a lot of time and I can then focus on other things that are really important of how we're going to work as a team, what kind of things you like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay. I'm a lazy doula. I like other people to have done some of the work for me.
Yeah, but that's what we should be, you know, lazy.
I mean, at the end of the day, what we have to remember as doulas is our antenatal sessions are not antenatal classes.
No, exactly.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
We're not giving a full antenatal course.
But you could have that as a sideline.
You could have that as a sideline.
As an additional thing. Yeah. Or you might have a doula package that includes a one-day birth preparation workshop.
You can play around with it however you like, but the standard doula package where most people offer two antenatal sessions, it's important the clients understand that they are not, that's not an antenatal course.
No, but you do cover some. I do usually want to talk about the birth physiology.
Oh, absolutely. Path to birth.
I have it
laminated now, so that comes out.
Yeah, and you can go through.
And I go through all of that.
Yeah, so those can be helpful things. And also then you can pick up on things that they haven't understood or missed in the... been missed out in the other antenatal classes they're doing.
Yes, Yeah, so hopefully that helps, Sarah.
Yeah, so good luck with your antenatal sessions.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. The Doula Dose, your weekly dose of doula.
Thank you, Annabelle, for that lovely introduction there.
Which means we don't have to do it.
Yeah, you don't have to do your EastEnders.
Yeah.
Do Doula Dose.
I do. Maybe I should ask Annabelle to record that too.
Yeah. See what that sounds like in her posh voice.
Anyway, this week's Doula Dose is...
Support in the workplace.
Support in the workplace, absolutely. And why have we chosen that topic today for our doula dose?
Because, strangely, in a profession where we're supposed to be...
Yes.
Supportive.
Yeah.
Empathetic.
Non-judgmental, don't forget.
Non-judgmental.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be an awful lot of that amongst the community.
No, we keep hearing stories about doulas... you know, being abandoned by the doula community.
Ostracised.
Yes. I think what you'll always find in any kind of work, any kind of profession, you might occasionally mess up or make a mistake.
Shock, horror. You mean doulas are merely human beings?
Yes.
No.
I think...
You heard it here first, folks. Doulas can make mistakes.
And absolutely... You know, and we all make mistakes. That's how we learn.
Absolutely.
And making mistakes is heartbreaking sometimes because of the, you feel like, how could I have done that? Or how I messed up. But also sometimes you might do something that you feel was actually supporting your client, but someone else might see it differently and then accuse you of having not made a mistake or whatever, doing something wrong. And I think what we need more than anything when we make mistakes is for someone to hear our story or listen to us and support us through that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's important. I think that, you know, the thing is, there's always two sides to a story. Yeah. And somewhere in the middle of that is the truth.
Yeah. So there's always three sides to a story.
there's three elements that need to be taken into account.
Yes, absolutely.
And it is important. You know, nobody has the right to act as judge, jury and executor.
I agree.
Of a colleague.
No.
Nobody has that right to do that.
No. And we see this happening in maternity with midwives. You know, often you hear the stories of midwives making a mistake and being hung out, no one supporting them, when actually, maybe they made a mistake. And I know in the midwifery world, it could be more fatal, the end results. But still, even in that case, you need support. You're
it doesn't bode well for a healthy working atmosphere if you are constantly watching your back.
No, exactly.
Because somebody is waiting to blame you for something.
Yeah.
That's not a healthy environment to work in.
Exactly that.
So no, that's not good at all. But you know, I know in the teaching world, for example, if you were to march into the school tomorrow morning and say to the teacher, you've done X, Y, and Z to my child and I'm not happy, you know, a headmaster or a head of year will always back their... They will always back their member of staff first and foremost.
Yeah.
Listen to your story.
Yeah.
But, however, not draw any judgment on that.
No.
And then go away and get the facts.
Yes.
And that's how it should be in the world of doulering.
Yeah. We need more of that. We need to... I think what we need is a really strong organisation to help with those things.
Yeah, I mean, there just seems to be too many people who are kind of so all consumed with kiss-arsing the health professionals at the expense of kicking their own colleagues, their doula colleagues, to the curb.
Yeah, I think I couldn't agree more. Even with that episode when we talked about the doulas and the headlines about my doula didn't turn up.
Oh yeah,
at my birth when the doula had been booked for postnatal.
Yeah,
I just sensed again that everyone first, or not everyone, a lot of doulas take the parent side first or the medical professional side first and then are not open to hear the doula side of the story. I don't know. It's like we're all striving to be the doula that's perfect, that never makes a mistake, that never says the wrong thing, never messes up. You know, that is not real.
No.
That's fake.
No, it's absolutely. The important thing is that you learn from your mistakes.
Exactly.
And you take that learning forward.
Yeah.
But no, you know, unless you are perfect, you have no rights to judge.
No. And there are no perfect people.
No.
For a fact.
And sometimes, you know, things will happen.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're not great.
No.
But you have to have all sides of the story.
Yeah.
You can't make your own assumptions based on one very loud person.
No.
And not hear the other person out.
But I also think it's important to think about that it's something that you did. It's not who you are. So what I'm saying, if you are a doula or anyone, when we make a mistake, it's something that we do, as in something that we didn't mean to do. It was a mistake.
So it's not you as a person. Not a reflection on your character.
It's not you're a bad person because you made a mistake. So therefore you need that support. If we're talking about, you know, mothering the mother, dueling the doula, supporting each other, just like with a child who does something that is not acceptable or that was wrong to do, you need to support that person, that child, that person through that.
Yeah.
Like you say, to reflect on what happened there, why that maybe wasn't a good thing to do or the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And then, but they need support. What I'm trying to say is just abandoning these doulas or that have, in the eyes of everyone, made a mistake is so hurtful. You know, it's like we more than anyone should be able to offer that support, even to someone that, you know, everyone has judged to being in the wrong.
Yeah. There needs to be more support within the community.
Yeah.
Practice what you preach.
Yeah. And sit back and look at situations and think, you know, that could have been me.
Yeah. How would you feel?
Yeah. How would you feel if you were in that situation and everyone just abandoned you?
Yeah.
So that feels like we're like sitting here wagging our fingers, like, don't do that. But.
Well, we are.
Yeah. I guess we are. I think what we're trying to say is, support each other out there.
Yeah. All you need is love. Do, 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 do. All you need is love. Do, 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 do. Should we stop that?
Yeah. Maybe we should do a special
karaoke version.
Yeah, no, CD for Christmas.
Can you imagine? The singing doulas or the not so singing doulas.
No. Anyway, I hope that's given you a bit of a dose this week.
Yeah, this whole podcast this week is a bit kind of like...
Yeah, what mood are we in? We're in a bit of a...
Is there something going on with the moon or something?
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Maybe. We're coming out of Mercury in retrograde. So there's a new phase here of getting back to more...
There's a shift, is there, in the energy?
There is a shift, absolutely.
Listen to me. God.
Ooh. Magic Meg. So, Siobhan...
We've reached the segment of the show, which is normally called Sweet and Sour.
Sour and Sweet.
But we've decided to change it.
Yeah, because we just struggle
to find anything sweet. We're just so sour.
That sounds so bad.
All we can see is bitter stuff.
When we sit here, right, and we're talking about what should be our sweet thing this week, we usually start going on about, the leaves are pretty. Oh, look, it's nearly Christmas.
Yes.
We're not going to do any more. So what are we going to do instead?
We're going to do news round.
Yeah, we need a little bit of a...
Da-da-da. I don't know. Welcome to... Da-da-da-da. Yeah, welcome to... I'm going to put my glasses on. There we go.
Doozy news.
We need to shuffle papers or something.
All right. Okay, well, okay.
So here we go with...
News round.
Our new... part of the show called News Round.
So today in the Telegraph we have the following headline.
You don't need to do it with that voice though.
Why not? Okay, sorry. I can't do it in another voice. I have to pretend I'm just like a newsreader.
Oh, you're going to pretend? Yeah. Okay.
Now, a third of maternity doctors burnt out and at risk of losing empathy for women in their care. Ooh, interesting. So what this is based on, let me read a little bit more. More than a third of maternity doctors are burnt out and at risk of lacking empathy for the women in their care, researchers have warned. The study of more than 3,000 obstetricians and gynecologists found high levels of long-term stress and overwork, especially among trainee medics. So that is very worrying, so does the researchers say. But, you know, this explains some of the things then. Yeah, I've always kind of said that maternity workers, as in obstetricians, midwives, are working with post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is not...
Well, they're doing very, very long hours in very, very stressful situations.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough balance there, is there, for them?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this, so 36% of those surveyed met the criteria for burnout, which is associated with emotional exhaustion, lack of empathy and connection with others.
See, that's very worrying, isn't it, when you have that lack of empathy.
Yeah,
so you
absolutely.
Have, compassion fatigue, which can happen.
Yeah, so medics who met the criteria for burnout were three times as likely to report anxiety, irritability and anger.
Yeah.
So these are maternity workers working with pregnant women. Like,
it doesn't bode well for the oxytocin.
Absolutely
does
not.
It?
And they were also four times more likely than colleagues to practice defensively.
Yeah.
Meaning they tried to avoid difficult cases or else carried out more interventions than necessary. For fear of error.
Yeah, well, that's, it's defensive practice, isn't it?
Yeah, but this kind of goes hand in hand with other newspaper articles a few weeks ago, about half of all pregnancies are induced.
Yeah, yeah. And this kind of explains perhaps why that is.
The increase in cesarean births, the increase of instrumental births.
Yeah.
The increase of women having trauma.
Yes.
And negative birthing experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we
something needs to happen before the elastic band snaps.
Yeah, it's really kind of at capacity now, isn't it?
I mean, if these obstetricians are working in highly stressed situations, a labour ward is potentially full of women with high-risk pregnancies.
Yeah.
You know, the level of cortisol and stress that's going through their bodies is not, it's just not healthy.
No. Not for them,
not for them,
the women.
Not for the women.
And for the staff, the other staff they're working with, for the midwives, for the support workers, for anyone in that environment.
The problem is, after a while, this becomes normal to them.
Yeah.
that those levels of cortisol racing through your body,
yeah,
you feel is normal.
Yeah. So your new level or base level,
yeah,
is much higher up
than anybody else.
And we know that cortisol, stress hormones, you know, makes adrenaline. We can all sense that.
Yeah,
we know, you know, this is what Michelle Odon talks
absolutely
about. But while men might not be the best support for a woman in labor, because men are generally very high in adrenaline.
Yes.
And women pick up on this. So, wow, this is kind of, it's crazy that we need research to kind of support this.
Yeah. But then, you know, articles like this will help bring it to the forefront and hopefully, you know, open up some discussion and look at ways to help support
mm-hmm.
the medical staff better.
Well, the training. I think their training absolutely needs improving.
Well, the hours they do while they're training is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's kind of like
this. Junior doctors work obscene amount of hours.
Yeah.
They really do.
So we are really feeling quite sorry for everyone, but it explains the situation we're in right
now. It explains it, but it doesn't make it okay.
No, absolutely not.
You know, and compassion fatigue is a really serious issue when you have lost all empathy and when you've desensitized to the mm-hmm. fact that there is a woman, a human being in front of you experiencing this. That doesn't bode well.
And when I think about the, obviously, because it's something I care about a lot, about survivors coming into this system, where, you know, survivors are often seen as awkward or not listening and being, you know, not being good patients.
Mm.
And, you know, so they're going to be already more likely to get attacked by a doctor who's also at breaking point.
Yeah.
So you have two people here with very high levels of stress because they're both kind of to
they both defense, have their own things fear. Going on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that
it really is not good, is it?
No. Oh, this is such a depressing podcast. This podcast,
we must apologise for how down we have been. I think we need
to
go
to where was it you went? To Morocco?
Oh, yeah, Marrakesh.
Marrakesh. And
should we do a podcast from Marrakesh?
Yeah, okay. I think I better pay for that, yeah? And we'll fly out there.
We'll fly out there in your private jet. Because
we need some sunshine and some
definitely
kind of
need some vitamin
snap us out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good.
But sometimes, you know, you just have to feel like this.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Alcohol works.
Yeah?
Is it too early for a G&T? I'm sure
you know what?
I'm sure it's happy hour somewhere in the world right now.
Let's wrap this podcast up and go and
get
see
drunk.
What we can find in the cupboards. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. We did it. We come to the end of podcast number 14.
Yeah, it's been... Sorry if it's been a bit of a heavy one this week.
Yeah.
Hopefully next week will be full of Christmas cheer.
Maybe I'll tickle your feet next week.
I thought you were going to say tickle your fancy.
Just to make you laugh a bit more.
Yes. Well, yeah. It's only because I've been on a night shift. What's your excuse? I've been up all night with twins. What's your excuse?
My excuse is that I've had a lot of thinking in my head. Where else do you think?
So you got brain pain.
Yeah. I've been just, you know, I've been thinking and thinking about Birth Bliss Academy and all the things I want to do with it, all the people I need to help me, all my business plan, my new developments, my investments. I've been researching software for having a, you know, the best super duper doula directory ever
super
in the world.
Super duper, is that a technical term?
Yeah.
Super duper doula directory.
Like a super duper
doula directory. Why do you always sing everything?
I don't know. You look at me and start singing. I hear a word, super duper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's anyway, a Swedish in you.
So that's why I'm tired. My brain is literally... You know, like you can hear your computer when you switch it on and the disc starts spinning.
Spin it, that's how you feel.
Mine is like, just keep spinning, because actually if I let it slow down, that's it.
So you're a bit like Alan Sugar in the boardroom. You just need your team around you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm looking for the team.
Yeah.
I have found some great team players. But I will be looking more. So I watch out. I mean, look out, not watch out.
Watch out, she's coming to get you.
Look out, birth bliss doulas. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
So what are you up to this week?
Well, that's it.
That's it, more of that.
Yeah.
More world domination. More of that,
yes. Well, hang on, next week I'm teaching a doula course.
Oh, yes, next week is your doula course.
Here in Abbots Langley.
In Abbots Langley.
Not here in our HQ,
no.
But in my house in up the house. There at the end of the garden, or at the top of the garden, I should say.
Yes.
So you're going to be there?
I am going to be there all week, folks. I'm here all week.
So if you're booked on the doula course next week, you're going to have Siobhan and I.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah. That's very exciting.
Two for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
And we've also got the Birth Bliss gathering.
Yes, at my house on the...
Wednesday night.
4th of December.
Which is,
it's just for Birth Bliss doulas, though, so...
Yeah, so if you...
Are a Birth Bliss doula.
Do come along. If you're not a Birth Bliss doula, then you can always join.
Yeah.
So how do people do that?
Join the Birth Bliss Academy.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming soon.
Coming soon.
That's a coming soon.
That's one. A coming soon. Okay. But we've also locally got a bit of a nightmare next week, haven't
yes.
we? Because we have Donald Trump as our neighbour.
And I was meant to put that in the email I sent to everyone yesterday. I will send another one.
So we have, we live near a...
Very posh hotel.
Big posh hotel. Yeah. And NATO are hosting their...
Is it called a G8?
No, this is separate. This is their 30th anniversary or something for NATO. Ooh. So all the world leaders are coming and descending upon us next week. And I live across the road.
You do?
And the not-so-secret service have been... have been creeping around the bushes.
Have they literally?
Literally.
Someone told me helicopters will be standing by in the school surround there in the fields.
Yeah, we've got Secret Service, MI5. I tell you what, my house is... I could literally walk out and leave my front door open.
And
nobody is going to rob anything. I'm surrounded by the world security.
That is so...
At the moment.
So scary. The scary thing is, why are they all there? What are they expecting?
Well, it's all of the world leaders going to be in one place.
So it's a very vulnerable situation.
And that hotel is quite exposed, really, because you can get to it from the canal.
Yes.
There's many woodlands, so there's a lot to cover. But but anyway, we're digressing.
So that's happening.
So, lots happening next week.
And we will be recording the podcast.
We will be back with another episode.
Yeah, next week.
Next week. Hopefully it will be a bit more cheery.
Yeah. Well... We've ended on a good note, haven't we?
And don't forget, if you can send us a voice note with a question for our doula dilemma.
No, for our question time. Our question time.
One day I'll learn
they are quite
schedule.
Similar.
If you could send us a voice note, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, we'd love your questions. Send them in. You can send them either on WhatsApp to Siobhan or I, or you can send them on the Facebook page, or you can send them in a normal SMS message.
Mm.
And please send us some questions from the rest of the world too. If you are...
We'd love to hear from you.
We really would love to hear from you, and you can have a mention on the show and ask your question.
And don't forget, as we said last week, if you would like to appear on the show... Well, not appear, but... appear, but...
As in, be heard.
Be heard on our show. If you have something you would like to talk about, then do come along. We would love to interview you. Yeah,
that's it. That's brilliant. I think that's... Is that all for
this
week?
I think that's it. So have a great week.
Yes.
And all that's left to say is...
See you next Thursday.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein. Do 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 do